Board, please. Now driving.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Four Please Now Driving, the official Masters podcast. I'm your host, Marty Smith from ESPN. Thursday at the Masters was electric. As the most supercharged lightning rod the sport has ever known, Tiger Woods officially made his return to tournament competition at Augusta National Golf Club. You'd be hard-pressed to find another athlete on Earth who creates more intensity in a crowd than Woods does. And the Masters patrons Thursday welcomed him back from injury and to the Masters first tee with a rousing ovation. As Woods waited to tee off, patrons pined their necks for the opportunity just to get one small glimpse of this global icon and maybe watch him hit his drive on the first. As he warmed up, there was a dull hum that hung in the air among the patrons. But as his presence was formally announced to the masses, that nervous silence instantly changed. We were there. This is how it sounded.
Four, please. Now driving. Tiger Woods.
Woods would go on to par the first, and the crowd reaction was one of appreciation and anticipation for what the day might hold. Woods was even par after five. When he reached the sixth tee, his shot came to rest within 2 feet. The patrons roared.
Cut 6 out for Tiger.
This one needs to cut to get on the proper level.
Oh, Tiger
really
win.
Almost made it. What a shot from Tiger.
Hey, guys, the game's there.
Another jaw-dropping moment for Woods was an unbelievable second shot from the pine straw on the 14th. An errant drive left Woods to the left of the fairway, deep in the pine straw. Before he swung, he paused, fully acknowledging that committing to the shot would test his injured right leg. The resulting shot was nothing short of fantastic, coming to rest just off the green. And then on the 16th, a birdie and a signature fist pump that brought the patrons to their feet. Woods ultimately finished his first round Thursday with a 1 under par 71. Afterward, after all he's experienced in the past 14 months, he was thrilled to walk away having posted a red number. But the great ones don't celebrate excellence. They obsess about failure.
I'll start off with disappointment. This making bogey from 50 yards on 8. Lack of concentration on the first one. Second one, lack of commitment. And then a blocked putt. So just 3 bad shots in a row.
Tiger, what question marks did you have?
But as far as the good stuff, the finish in the red today, after as long a layoff as I've had and not being in competitive golf, you know, I don't really consider, you know, a scramble in the PNC, you know, it is competitive, but it's not like this. This is totally different. But to play this golf course and to do what I did today, to hit the shots in the right spots, you know, I know where to hit it to a lot of these pins, and I'm missing the correct spots and give myself good angles, and I did that all day, and I was able to make a few putts and end up in a red like I am right now. I'm only 3 back, and I know we got a long way to go. This golf course is going to change dramatically. cooler, drier, windier. You can hear the sub-airs on out there. So this golf course is going to change, and it's going to get a lot more difficult.
How are you feeling compared to how you expected to feel?
I am as sore as I expected to feel. But it was amazing to have, like I was telling the team, you know, all week, come game time, it'll be a different deal. You know, my adrenaline will kick in. I'll get into my own little world, and I'll get after it. And it's about the training that we've done. It's to have the stamina to go. I'm going to be sore, yes. That's just the way it is. But the training cycles that we've had to make sure that I have the stamina to keep going. And it's only one round. We got three more to go. It's a long way to go, and a lot of shots to be played.
Tiger, after so long away, did it feel like business as usual once you got to the first tee, or did you kind of have to get into the mindset of competition again?
No, it was. You know, I was alluding to in there. I had a terrible warm-up session. I hit it awful, and I went back to what my dad always said: "Did you accomplish your task in warm-up? It's a warm-up." Did you warm up? Yes, I did. Now go play. And that's exactly what I did, and went and played. And forgot whatever I did on the range, and says, just go ahead and play shot for shot. Hit the ball in the correct spot, commit to what I'm doing, leave myself in the right angles, hopefully make a few putts, and let's get after this thing. And, you know, I was able to do that. And then finish in the red. I'm only three back and right where I need to be. I can swing a golf club. It's the walking's not easy, and it's difficult. And as I said, with all the hardware in my leg, it's going to be difficult, you know, for the rest of my life. It's just the way it is. But I'm able to do it, and that's something I'm very lucky to have this opportunity to be able to play. And not only that, to play in the Masters and to have this type of reception. I mean, the place was electric. You know, I hadn't played like this since 19 when I won. Because in 20 we had COVID and we had no one here, and I didn't play last year. So to have it, the patrons fully out, and to have that type of energy out there was awesome to feel. People have no idea how hard it's been. My team does. They've worked with me every single day. I've said this before. We've never taken a day off since I got out of the bed after those 3 months. So. Granted, some days are easier than others. You know, some days we push it pretty hard, and other days we don't. But always doing something. So it's commitment to getting back and getting back to a level that I feel like I can still do it. And I did something positive today.
Woods playing partners Thursday were Louis Oosthuizen and Joaquin Niemann. Niemann, who finished the first round at 3-under, said the experience, after the first tee, nerves, of course, was thrilling.
I think nothing was hard today. I think it was really enjoyable round. It was really fun. I was able to play with Tiger. He was really nice with me and Louis also. The crowd also was amazing. They were all telling me that make sure you try to finish before Tiger. That way the people don't start moving, but they were really respectful, so it was an enjoyable round. It was good. Probably at the beginning, I noticed that there was a lot of people, but then, like, I was trying to talk to my caddy on the team, I couldn't hear anything like I was saying and he was saying, but I got really used to it, and yeah, I mean, I didn't even think about it.
Here's what the leaderboard looks like after the first round. Sungjae Im shoots a 5-under 67 to hold the outright lead after the first round. Cameron Smith is solo T2 with a 4-under 68. 2016 Masters champion Danny Willett is tied for third with a 3-under 69, with Joaquin Niemann, world number one Scottie Scheffler, and 2020 Masters champion Dustin Johnson. One of the great Masters traditions is the ceremonial first tee on Thursday morning, when honorary starters Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and Tom Watson tee off to officially open tournament play. Following a brief weather delay, this legendary trio, with 11 green jackets combined, did just that. Afterward, they described the honor that accompanies the opportunity.
I personally just felt lucky to be out there, period. I think these two know what I'm talking about.
Well, I felt honored to be out there. When Chairman Ridley called my office and said, we'd like to speak with Tom at 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning. I was kind of expecting maybe that he might ask me to be an honorary starter, but I was overjoyed and basically humbled because the way I look at these old goats right here, that I can't carry their shoes. I don't kind of belong in the same realm as these two players here. But I was very honored to be selected, and as I said today, I've seen many opening tee shots on this during the Masters over my years, from Freddie McLeod and Jock Hutchinson when I was an amateur in 1970, to Arnie's last event when he sat down and sat on the chair there. I've seen several in the middle with Sam Snead and Byron Nelson, Gene Sarazen. It's just part of the heritage of the tournament that I personally very much like, and to be a part of it. As I said, I'm very humbled to be a part of it.
Okay, Chris.
I must say,
I'm sorry.
I
beg your pardon.
I get quite choked when I get on that tee in the morning. I'm not embarrassed to say that. The enthusiasm is one of the great essences of life, and the enthusiasm there, you can't compare it to anywhere. The people are just running. They're not supposed to run, but they're coming in the gate this morning dying to run. I vividly remember getting up in the morning to watch Jock Hutchinson and Freddie McLeod hit off. And it was like yesterday, and the saddest day that I ever had being on this tee was when Arnold Palmer's chair was there with his jacket on, because Jack and I traveled extensively throughout the world with him, and we were, I think if I may say, fierce competitors, but we had great respect and love for each other, which doesn't exist a lot in sports today, unfortunately. I think the word that comes to mind for me is also to be on the tee with a superstar like Tom Watson and Jack Nicklaus. And the word that comes to me, it's very simple, is gratitude. To be here at 86 years of age, on my 65th occasion, and still be teeing off. We can't take things for granted, which there is a great sense of entitlement that exists on the planet today, and we're not entitled to a damn thing.
Watson, you talked about it a little bit, but I just wondered if you expand upon, when you get that call, do you answer immediately? Do you have to think about it? Do you ask...
I didn't have to think about it.
No, okay.
No, I'm not making light of the fact that I was very humbled about it. I didn't feel I was in the same category as these two. I've always said that. And people had asked me, when are you going to be the honorary starter at Augusta for the last several years? And I said, well, I don't belong there. And honestly. Chairman Ridley called me. He asked me fairly quickly in the conversation. He said, Tom, we really would appreciate it if you would accept our invitation to be an honorary starter with Jack and Gary. And I told him exactly how I just told him. I feel very humbled, and I don't deserve to be there. And he said, no, we'd really like you to do this. And I said, I'd more than happy to do it. And then he followed up very quickly, and he said, Tom, you can do it for as long as you'd like. Which that meant a great deal to me.
Gentlemen, this is for all three of you. It sounds like the Champions Dinner was a nice affair. Mr. Nicklaus, you tweeted that you thought it was one of the better ones you've ever been to. If you don't mind, what you're comfortable sharing from the dinner and the food and all that good stuff?
Well, I'll start if you want me to. I guess you directed it at me. I thought that we probably had the best dinner that we've ever had, and not so much from the standpoint of food, but the food was sensational. I think food was probably the best we ever had, too, but it wasn't from that standpoint. It was the standpoint that Hideki, he gave about a three-minute speech in English, doesn't speak very much English, and
he did not look at a note. He had figured out what he wanted to say. I'm sure he had some help getting it on paper, and then memorized it or whatever. But he was terrific. Yeah.
Nicholas Player and Tom Watson aren't the only former Masters champions who were emotionally touched by Hideki Matsuyama's speech. On Wednesday, I had the tremendous honor of interviewing several of the participants prior to the par 3 contest, one of whom, two-time Masters champion Bubba Watson, told me that Matsuyama had labored for hours to learn the entire speech in the English language, and that it was so purposeful and so full of gratitude, Bubba was moved to tears. Some guys may have cried, he told me. Maybe me. That spoke so profoundly to the timeless honor and wonder and gratitude that these former Masters winners experience at the annual Champions Dinner. It's a very small fraternity, this group of 31 former winners and Chairman Fred Ridley, a room filled wall to wall with legends of the game, each of whom having climbed the sport's highest peak and planted his flag atop the Masters Mountain. Matsuyama, of course, did so last year in 2021. He began the March Thursday towards a potential repeat with an even par 72. The last player to repeat as Masters champion was, you guessed it, Tiger Woods in 2001 and 2002. It's always so humbling for me and for so many countless others to make the pilgrimage to Augusta National to cover the Masters tournament. But for one of Augusta's native sons, country music star Charles Kelly from the band Lady A, it's an annual trip home.
What's up, Marty?
Great to see you, brother.
Good to see you.
Appreciate
too.
You coming out. I guess I don't know if you're coming out or coming home, right?
I'm coming home.
So you have a really unique relationship with Augusta National and the Masters. What is it?
Well, I grew up here in Augusta, born and raised, and actually worked the range. It wasn't this range. It was the original one. And so I worked the range a couple years, and I still got some souvenirs. They got the Masters logo on them at the end of each day, you know, working. We'd stuff a couple in our pockets.
How does a guy get a job? Well, right, I presume you were in high school.
Yep.
How does a guy get a job in high school working the range at Augusta National?
We were pretty lucky. A friend of ours, father, was basically just, you know, he would try to recruit some you know, people that love the game, golfers. And I remember, if I'm not mistaken, we were all on the Lakeside golf team, and he asked, you know, several of us if we wanted to be a part of it, and we jumped at the chance. So
how do you react to that question?
It was a hell yes.
Yeah, I'm saying
it was pretty wild. It really was. I mean, my brother, we had some of our other, you know, good friends out there with us, and it was just wild. You know, the main rule though was don't talk to the players. But I mean, you know, you'd sit up there and you grab the bag and you're right next to Tiger Woods and, you know, all these heroes.
So you have to have stories. What are the memories that you've taken away from that experience?
The biggest memory, I think, just was being behind the ropes. You know, growing up as a kid and coming to the tournament, you know, you always dream to be on the other side and be a part of the action. And, I mean, I just, even like driving the pickup cart, you know, around, and, you know, I was like, maybe one of these players will, you know, hit my cart with their golf ball or something. But it's those little things. I mean, just being behind the scenes, you know, getting to go in and to the areas that, you know, that the spectators don't normally get to see. You know, I think that's the coolest part about it, because I don't think anybody realizes how giant of an operation this is.
What golfer, while you were working the range in high school, did you just stand there in awe that I'm actually in the same airspace as that person?
Fred Couples was up there for me.
Easy Freddy.
Of course, you know, Tiger Woods, but, you know, he was pretty much just coming on the scene like big when I was doing it. But Fred Couples, Phil Mickelson, you know, and you also got to see some of the greats out there too. So, I mean, everybody. I mean, it really is. I mean, if you love golf, I mean, I feel like there's not a player out here that I don't know something about, and I love it.
So how did you get introduced to the game?
Grew up in Augusta. My oldest brother, John Kelly, he played at Wake Forest. So me and my brother Josh, we were 10 years younger than him. And so, you know, I'm 6'6". He should have put a basketball in my
for
hand.
For sure,
but
man.
Instead, he put a golf club in my hand. So at an early age, I was just eaten up with it. I mean, we would run around, travel around the you know, the Southeast and play different golf tournaments and stuff. And I recognized early on that I was never going to get on that side of the rope. So I started playing.
Join the club.
I started playing music. And eventually, you know, that when I was about 14 years old, you know, music kind of took the lead. But yeah, I've always played golf growing up with my dad and my two brothers. It was kind of, we had a set foursome, you know.
Everybody has their vision of what the Masters is.
Yeah.
Regardless of what that vision is, it invariably exceeds expectations.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you define what this experience is?
I think it's magical. I mean, growing up here too, I thought every golf tournament was run like this. I thought every golf tournament looked like this. And I mean, it really truly is paradise. I always tell friends that I said, even if you don't know a lick about golf, coming in here and just seeing how it's run, you know what? I love the little things too, that you can go in the concession stand and still get a sandwich and a beer for less than $10.
Yeah.
You can't go to any sporting event. You can't go to any golf tournament. Other golf tournaments.
Can't go to any concerts.
Yeah, you definitely can't go. Hey, we don't get a piece. We don't get a piece of the concession, so don't blame me on that. But I just think there's a charm to it, and I love that as the game has grown, and as you know, the concept of golf tournaments in general has grown and become really corporate, that this place has changed enough with the times to do that, but still keep it really authentic and really old school, you know?
One more thing here, and maybe we'll go get one of those pimento cheese sandwiches.
Oh, I've got a special.
Do you? Are you going to introduce me to some new culinary
excellence?
Well,
it's excellence? Early. What is it?
It's early.
It's early, so I haven't had breakfast yet. So I've got the perfect breakfast sandwich.
Okay.
But you got cash. I don't have the cash. You got some cash on
I don't
you?
Have a dollar, but I know people.
All right, good.
You have seen the inner workings, having worked here actually for the club.
Yeah.
It is a massive operation.
It is.
So how do you, I say all the time, Charles, I feel like if America was run more like Augusta National was run, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems that we have. Because like, for example, the reverence for the grounds. If you and I are walking that way and we see trash on the ground, what do?
Yeah.
We pick the trash up and put it in the bin because we respect the ground so much, and it permeates the people.
It does. Well, I you know, it's funny, I mean, we were joking, but I seriously had trouble getting, because you don't have cell phones, which I love. I think that's another thing that is so pure about this place. No cell phones. Everybody, it's all about the golf. They're not sitting there watching Tiger Woods through
Correct.
A phone, you know, and I just think just keeping that aspect is so special.
People come from all over the world to see this tournament. You grew up in this town.
Yeah.
How do you carry this with you everywhere you go?
It's a huge source of pride. I mean, growing up in this town, it was James Brown and the Masters. And ironically, that's, you know, the two loves of my life, music and golf. And so I met James Brown at the allergist. I was going
really?
To get allergy shots. I got to meet James Brown. And so just little things like that. But it's a huge source of pride. I mean, I tell people all the time, I was like, you know, when the minute I say I'm from Augusta, Georgia, they're like, have you played? And I've been fortunate enough to get to play a few times. And you know, I don't take it for granted. I think it's just such a special environment, a special place to grow up. And, you know, one thing that is even overarching for me that got me into music was we would rent our house out. My mom would rent our house out every year for the Masters. And I think we would rent it out, I think sometimes the ESPN, sometimes like CBS. And, we used that money one year to go, my mom did, to go buy me a set of drums and my brother Josh Kelly an electric guitar. And literally within 6 months, we had a band and, you know, we were out doing our thing. So, you know, there's a lot of other little tentacles that this place has really, you know, kickstarted for me as a human being.
I'm ready for you to show me
this
brand new dish.
This is going to blow your mind. It's so simple, but it's going to blow your mind.
Let's go.
It's the perfect breakfast sandwich.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay. We've made our way to the concession area. We have a nice little buffet of Masters concessions items.
Yep.
Explain to me what you're about to show me here.
Well, it's early. It's before noon.
First of all.
Now this.
Cheers.
This is allowed out here before noon, but I haven't had breakfast. This is my breakfast sandwich. Ham and cheese on rye.
Ham and cheese on rye. Beautiful Masters sandwich wrappings.
All right. This is our first move.
All right.
You want to keep that figure. You don't need that.
Yeah, I want to definitely keep this spelt.
Egg salad sandwich. Okay. Got your egg, you got your ham, you got your cheese. Once again.
Peel and slap, it
looks
like. But
you got to watch out. The egg salad, it's...
You kind of got
to. You know what? Let's not even worry about that. I'm just going to keep that little extra bread because you need a carbo load out here. You got that.
All right, I'm
ham
ready.
And cheese on rye, a little egg salad sandwich.
Right.
Feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Some of that's not unbelievable.
Pretty spectacular. How much of it am I wearing?
You get the ham, you get the cheese, and then you get the egg salad. It kind of keeps it nice and moist.
How was this devised? Was this
my
you
brother?
You?
This is my brother, John Kelly. And he used to do another little trick. He'd stick a ham and cheese, stick it in his back pocket, and it'd get kind of warm throughout the day. Because you don't want to be coming back through the line the
whole
time.
Human microwave?
Uh-huh. And we go out there. But this one right here, this is one I show everybody. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I also appreciate, so there's also bread diversity.
There is.
You got your whole grains here, your rye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, then you got your old school rainbow white.
Mm-hmm.
Although the Masters probably bakes their own bread.
We just saved 150 calories right there.
We did.
And I'm not even a big import beer guy, but you get the green cups when you go import. But this is actually something new, the crow's
this
nest.
This is a crow's nest. It's a lemon infused.
It's good.
Cold beer. And I like it.
First time I ever had it.
Especially at 9:15 in the morning.
Cheers, brother.
My man. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs is right.
That's actually pretty damn good.
It's unbelievable.
How does your wife do with the cup stack?
That's
my wife is so tired of my cups.
That's all I drink out of.
Me too.
And I got the years. I mean, I've got some back from, early 2000, late 90s. I mean, they never go bad. I mean, there's nice cups. She's always like, if I make a cocktail, she's like, you don't want to use one of the nice glasses? I'm like, baby, this is a nice glass.
One of my buddies got inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame this year, and he had this fancy pants party.
Mm-hmm.
I came packing heat. I put it in my pocket so I could drink my cold beer out of that bad boy. It's just resourceful, right? It makes you feel really distinguished.
There's a lot of Ubers in Nashville. Because it's my gozer. There's a lot of Ubers that got Masters cups.
That have ornaments in the back seat?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is an amazing concoction. I appreciate the effort. But if you were picking egg salad or pimento cheese, what are you going to go with?
Pimento cheese by itself is pretty amazing. We'll get to that. That's lunchtime.
Oh,
but this is breakfast.
Just breakfast?
Yeah, pimento cheese feels like more like a little lunch. And, of course, get another cold beer. You need to wash that down, but... This has got all your breakfast elements in there.
Nowhere else on the planet can you get everything, including those goo-goo clusters or whatever you just threw on the ground.
Yeah.
Nowhere else can you get all of this stuff for like $5.
Southern hospitality right there, man.
That's all from Thursday at the Masters. As we leave you, some tee times of note heading into Friday's second round. Leader Sung J.M. tees off at 9:39 a.m. alongside Webb Simpson and Mark Leishman. Cameron Smith, who again is in sole possession of second place after the first round, tees off at 1:30 p.m. Bryson DeChambeau will play with Smith. And lastly, Tiger Woods tees off at 1:41 p.m. once again alongside Louis Oosthuizen and Joaquin Niemann. I'm sure Woods appreciates the extra rest. For everyone at Augusta National Golf Club and the Masters, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back Friday with the latest from the 86th Masters.